In tonight's gospel, we see two of the disciples who had just witnessed all of these things happening in Jerusalem, leaving Jerusalem and going to a town called Emmaus, 7 miles away. And so much had happened over the past few days, shocking events. First, Jesus enters Jerusalem with a crowd of pilgrims who are going there to celebrate the Passover. And that crowd is celebrating Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah and their King. But then shortly after they arrive in Jerusalem, Jesus himself is arrested and he is brought to trial before Pontius Pilate. He is condemned to death. He suffers execution in the most humiliating and painful way. His body is laid in a tomb. And then on the third day after that, his tomb is found empty. The women who discover his empty tomb are saying that angels have reported to them that he is actually risen, and they are astounded by the news. And so they leave Jerusalem, which I think is so interesting, that even after these disciples who were close friends of Jesus, even after they hear the report that he's raised. Now, of course, they don't know what that means. This is not something anyone was expecting. What would it even mean for someone to rise from the dead? They had no idea what this even was. But they leave Jerusalem. So why did they leave? Why in the midst of all of this drama did they decide to go? Didn't they want to see what was going to happen next? Were they fearful about everything that was happening? Were they fearful of the authorities who were furious that the body of Jesus had gone missing? This was the worst case scenario for the Roman authorities and for the Jewish religious authorities. So they give us a little clue as to what their spiritual and mental state is as they're talking to Jesus, because as they're telling Jesus, they don't realize it's Jesus, but as they're telling him everything that's just happened, they said this: "We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. We were hoping." It's past tense. Not, "We hope still." We were hoping. And so it seems that for these disciples, because of everything that had happened, their hopes now seemed to be impossible. They'd lost their hope. So maybe that's the reason. There's no reason to stay because we don't have hope anymore that this one was the one whom we were hoping he would be. So are we able to relate to this? We all know the story and the facts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but do we also not sometimes feel like our own hope has failed? We experience negative things in our life, many negative things, loss, tragedy, sadness, and we might feel like God has abandoned us sometimes in our life. Or we might have experienced negative things in the church, the place that God is supposed to be most present, most obvious. And these negative experiences can make us feel abandoned or betrayed by our Lord. Surely that's how some of these disciples felt, abandoned, even betrayed. It's important for us to see how the turnaround that happens in this story occurs. As the disciples are leaving Jerusalem, which really means that they're in a bad spiritual space. If we think about Luke's gospel and the way that he portrays Jesus's life, it's like He's for 3 years, he's on his way to Jerusalem. That's the destiny. That's the goal. And now these disciples, Luke, that same author tells us, are leaving Jerusalem. They're on their way out. So that tells us that they're in a bad spiritual place, truly, as they've lost their hope. And what are they doing? They're talking to each other. They're conversing with each other, debating with each other about the things that have just taken place. And what do we learn about them? That their eyes are downcast. This conversation that they're having with each other isn't helping each other. It's not bringing them closer to the truth or closer to God. It's further alienating them, making them feel even worse about the situation, this conversation that they're having with one another. Sometimes our conversations can be like that too, not helping us. Better to stop talking if that's the case. So where does the turnaround happen? Well, Jesus comes to walk with them. And this is actually true at every moment in our life. Jesus comes to walk with us in the journey of our life. No matter if we're in good times or in bad times, he comes to walk with us. We don't always recognize him, like these disciples didn't recognize him. But then what happens is that as Jesus speaks to them, even though they don't realize who it is, they begin to speak back to him. And as they hear from Jesus, as they encounter him, receive his words, it begins to change them. They say this, they say, "Were not our hearts burning as we were walking on the way?" So thankfully, they turned from their conversation with one another, which was only leading to worse, and they started in this conversation with the Lord. And instead of bringing their hearts more and more downcast as their conversation was doing, their hearts were lifted up more and more, their hearts burning within them. And then what happens, right, when it seems that they are about to split off from Jesus, who's going to a different location, and they invite him to stay with us. And what does Jesus do for them then when they invite him to stay? He, having just revealed to them the meaning of the scriptures, he breaks the bread with them. And at that moment, they realize it's him. And so from the earliest times of the church, we've recognized this as the Mass. That what happens in the Mass is that we read the scriptures. They're broken open for us. And then Jesus breaks the bread for us. And he vanishes from their sight. But in the breaking of the bread, they realize that it's him. It's really him. And then what happens next? Well, they decide, why are we going to Emmaus? Why are we leaving Jerusalem? We're going the wrong way. And so they turn around and go back to Jerusalem. And the mission of the church begins. So what is it that can turn our own hearts, that can become lost in hopelessness, straying spiritually? What can get us out of that? Well, it's not the talking to the others about things that only gets us deeper into the despair that we're feeling. It's also not the self-talk that we can try to do, trying to fix ourselves. I just need to do better. I just need to do this. I need to fix this. I need to do this. It doesn't help us. The gospel is not a self-help book, but rather it's the revelation of one who's loved us from the very beginning. And so it's the encounter with that one who loves us. That's what changes us. That's what turns our hearts around. That's what we need. That's what gets us going the right way again and gets us to turn away from that wrong path. So this evening, Jesus is here to accompany us, and He was here on our way to church. He's going to stay with us after we leave church tomorrow. If we're having a good day or a bad day, he's going to be accompanying us. But amidst the sorrows and trials of this life, he just wants us to be talking to him. Because as we open our lives up to him, we encounter him in a real way. So we celebrate the sacraments with him, we encounter him in a real way, and he can bring us out of that darkness, back into the light, back on the wrong path. Let's ask for the gift to see Jesus, to recognize him, especially here at the Mass, especially if we have lost hope even in the Mass, that this is really what we believe it is. Let's ask for the gift of faith, the gift to see Jesus here, to meet him, to encounter him here, so that we too can be filled with light, the darkness of our heart going away, that we too can turn away from the wrong path and go back to Jerusalem, to go back to the mission of the church where Jesus reveals himself.